PCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here on Friday, the 19th of June at 7:05 in the morning. Good morning, everybody. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning, and I'm here with Jared. Jared, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
What's the weather look like?
Hot.
Okay.
It's currently...
Okay, thanks a lot. Okay, yeah. Hey, the weather... No.
I told people yesterday
that yesterday is the day you would be wishing it was on Saturday and Sunday. It was only 98 yesterday. Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be what, 106?
Let's see. Today is going to be 101. It's currently 63. Today's going to the high today is 101, a low of 68. Saturday is a high of 101, low of 68. Sunday is a high of 101, low of 69. And on Monday is when it really starts to ramp up, a high of 107, a low of 73. And on Tuesday it's going to be 108. So,
are you going to lay there like a lizard? You know, I mean, in your air conditioner.
I'm going to buy a kiddie pool and just lay in that all day.
A kiddie pool.
Fill it with ice.
You know, it's, by the way, happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
It was a couple of days ago, but I only see you on Fridays and sometimes during the week.
Yeah, 22 years old.
22. My gosh, you know what? I mean, I could have gotten in trouble for buying you that beer 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Hey, weather report brought to you by our friends down there at Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane has been in business a long time. It's a veteran-owned business. It does a lot for our community. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. For during the car fire and the rebuilding there, they provided for free 110-gallon propane tanks. And gave you, I think the first tank was free, too, to help people in the rebuilding. And you might give them a call at 365-3793 and ask them about generators. Because it's now the season, and there's nobody left on the board of PG&E since 13 of 15 had to resign, including the CEO, after they were found guilty of manslaughter. Which was, we discussed with Stephanie Bridget yesterday, the Shasta County DA, is how do you do that? You know, since it's a corporation and on something like this, I guess when they were working all this stuff out, that it was nobody goes to jail. Which, in a case like this, somebody needs to be held responsible, is my opinion. But... moving on, but because of that, PG&E has said they will be cutting power again. They're trying to isolate it, but they will be cutting power. And they've got generators down at Shasta Gas Propane. You might just call them and ask them what kind of support they can give you during that time frame. Okay. Hey, somebody hasn't been here for a long time, Todd Jones. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Carl. How are you?
Oh, you know what, I've known Todd, gosh, how long have I known you now?
Probably 7 or 8 years.
At least that long. Todd's a former Marine. Hoorah. And a proud daddy. And Linda and I saw you and your beautiful wife when she was just, I mean, maybe 3 or 4 days, maybe, I don't know how long it was, before giving birth.
To our third child.
Yeah, to your third child. This was just it was at the I think at the Kobe Steakhouse.
Yeah, that's right.
And Linda looks at her and says, "Oh," she says, "I wonder if she's leaving so she can have her baby right now." Because you all were ready then.
That was pretty close. Our third and final son, Tanner, and he's 9 months old now, almost 10 months old.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's pretty amazing.
Super.
Three little boys under six. It's kind of a wild house right now.
Three little boys under six, and here you are.
Here I am.
And there she is.
They're having, you know, mornings are a little bit peaceful sometimes. Cartoon, cereal. If I was getting them ready for school, that'd be a different case, but no school today.
No school. Yeah. Well, there's no school any day, is there?
There hasn't been school for a long time.
I understand. Have you been home schooling?
We did. Our kids go to Reading Christian. We have a preschooler and a kindergartner, and then, of course, a 10-month-old. And they switched to homeschool as pretty much as soon as everybody else did. And the kindergartner actually still had Zoom classes 1 hour a day for the entire time, which was – and then an hour of homework. So 2 hours of schoolwork for
so were you,
kindergarten.
Were you teaching sometimes?
No. My wife was doing that.
I understand that she suspended both the boys from class.
That's right. Yeah, they were expelled outside of the house for
– 3 or 4 times.
Hours at a time.
A day.
They had a trampoline in water, so they were okay.
They were okay. Trampoline in water. Right. You are obviously a bad father.
we have the net. And, you know, there's they zip it down. They're safe.
You got to give them a chance to go out there and get banged up a little
bit. That's right.
I mean,
it's the only way they learn.
It is. I saw the press release, and Todd, who's been working with the Economic Development Corporation for years, along with Tony Giovanello, Tony's retiring, and you have fleeted up to be the president of the EDC. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So how's Stillwater going?
Oh, I'm so grateful you asked me that. I didn't know you would ask me that this morning. So Stillwater's actually, you know, it's actually going pretty well. So Pace Engineering, who the Record Church Light reported, I think the last article was probably sometime in February or March. Actually, during all the COVID, the city council did approve them purchasing Lot 3 at Stillwater. And currently, I believe they're still in escrow, so I don't really have much more of an exciting update than that, although I do know that they are going forward. They have building plans that went out to bid, and they're going to be building an office facility out at Stillwater. So if that were to take place and they were to break ground here in the next, let's say, 6 months, the gates will open up and the utilities and lights will turn on, and it would be a pretty miraculous, amazing thing. So,
well, once you get one out there and it's open, at least then you can show it.
Yeah.
The other one you had out there, the strawberry fields,
right,
was not, you know, they never did get it going out there.
No, they still own the land. They, so, you know, there is an opportunity. They're kind of a fluctuating business where when the economy's not doing as well, they actually do better and they put more money into their facility. So, right, you know, there could actually be a chance during all this that they would decide to pull the trigger on that. It's not listed for sale. So last I heard, they still are planning to move forward with it at some point. And I think, you know, regarding Stillwater, I think one of the interesting things we're seeing now is that commercial real estate is really changing. There's not as much on the market anymore. A lot for the manufacturing industrial with cannabis, prices went very, very high, which kind of helped close the gap for construction costs, because construction in California, as we all know, is very, very expensive. So it didn't really make sense to go build a building when you can go buy one for half the cost. And now there's just not much on the market. So people that want to expand, specifically in Shasta County, they don't have any other options. And so their families are here, their businesses are here, so they are looking at building at Stillwater. And so I think that's where, you know, we may see, like, Pace is a great example. You know, that's, I think we'll see more people like that, if anything, in the next few years, where people say, we need to build because we want to stay here and there's no other options for us. And it's finally starting to financially make sense.
Okay. Well, that, you know what? The you said Lot 3. Is it the third lot you mean, or is it just Lot 3 that was
sold? No, it's number 3. So it's
number three.
One
okay.
at the north.
Because I knew
16.
About the first one and this one. Now, cannabis, the cannabis industry is interested in Stillwater, though, about putting maybe a big facility out there growing.
Yeah, there are. I have heard conversations.
I've heard rumors about that.
Yeah, I have heard rumors. You know, there are a few people that have been out there and looked at the land to do indoor grows and manufacturing out there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really preliminary at the moment right now, but city council last year approved it for hemp, and I think cannabis, you know, depending on the lots, the southern lots are kind of large industrial. It's far removed. It's in the green zone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of the boxes that it checks. So, and it's shovel ready. There's a lot of power out there, which is a big thing for those cannabis growers. And there's plenty of capacity at the moment, 23 megawatts of power. So you could do a lot. They're very power hungry operations.
And
so that could be a great fit.
And that's legal too.
It's legal. Correct.
Because it's all inside. It's all controlled like that.
That's right. And then, you know, the sweet spot is growing is one thing, and that's, you know, it's fine. But the manufacturing and distribution, you know, that's where you're adding more value and you're shipping that out to other places in California. And employing more people that pay good wages.
Can you ship it outside of California?
I don't think you can ship it, but shipping it within California.
Within California.
Within California. And
yeah,
if
that was the case, I'd start the trucking company again. And I'd be running 18-wheelers to New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I talked to a grower the other day who has a very big facility here in Reading, and he ships it to L.A.,
yeah,
to do the manufacturing. I'm like, why don't you do it up here? Labor's so much cheaper. But they ship it down, the flour.
Is probably cheaper.
Electricity's cheaper, but they use a third-party provider down there. So I don't know if there's many third-party providers up here.
And it's all different. Every aspect of it's taxed, too.
Right.
So it's the value-added tax. If you want to see value-added tax, look at the marijuana industry.
I'm curious. I didn't ask him how many pounds he ships at once, though. Because I remember I grew up in Trinity, and I went to Humboldt State. I mean, you hear about those big multiple-pound bus that people have U-Haul vans full, and it's a lot of money. So I didn't ask him how much, but it's pretty amazing that he ships it 700 miles south.
It'd be interesting to see how they do that. Imagine how much a U-Haul truck, just a regular, just, you know, not the large ones, but, you know, a good size one, mid size would be worth.
It's a lot. It's a lot of money. I mean, it's, I don't know.
Process.
Yeah.
Process. Wow. Okay. I'm here with Todd Jones talking about the marijuana industry. How things have changed since Tony left. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we talked about that a lot when he was here too. And Todd is on July 1st will be the new president of the Shasta County Economic Development Corporation. So we're going to take a break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. They do everything by appointment, so you give them a call at 244-9478. There's only one person in there at a time. There's 10 minutes in between customers, so they can sanitize everything, which they do. And it is the best place in the world to get a haircut. And it's also man's last stronghold. There you go. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back with Todd and a few more things on what's happening in the business and the and looking forward after this COVID. And after this COVID-19, things are starting to open up again. And I'm hearing a lot about big cities are starting to get an exodus. We'll be right back. This one.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? All have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is 7:21 in the morning, 69 degrees out there, going up to 101 today, the 19th of June. And this portion of the show brought to you by, how appropriate, the Alliance Heating and Air. Alliance Heating and Air. If you're having any problems, or if it's not problems, but you've noticed that maybe it's not as cool in your house as it used to be, give Alliance Heating and Air a call. What we discovered is after they replaced the capacitor a couple of weeks ago, that thing had been probably not at its top level for a while, because after the new capacitor came in, it was like the house just immediately cooled down much more than it did before over the last few months. So these are things they can do. They can take a look and make sure everything's working at its utmost. They can work on any type of heating or cooling systems. They offer warranties, guarantees. It's a veteran-owned business. They work quickly, professionally, and at a really good price point. Give them a call at 221-2642 or learn more at their website, homecomfort.org, Alliance Heating and Air. I'm here with Todd Jones, he will be the new president of the Economic Development Corporation come July 1st. We were talking during the break about distance working, that, you know, you look at a lot of statistics out there, and employers are finding that they didn't have a drop in productivity, and in some cases it was higher, with their people being at home and working from home, and that and if this holds true, then they're going to be looking for smaller footprints. You know, I don't need to have 100 people in here if I can have 50 at home doing the same work. They're happier. I don't have to pay for all the electricity and the air conditioning and all these other things that go along with it. Is this kind of a time to strike and, you know, to get people up here?
Well, absolutely. And you know, actually, you had asked me if there's any kind of great stories, and I just thought of one as you were saying that we didn't talk about over the break, but I'll try to make it as quickly as I can. It's kind of a long story, but JCI Marketing, which used to be your neighbor here on the other side of the building, they did websites and marketing for a long time in the area. They were acquired a couple of years ago by a company called Continuant, which does basically like manage systems for phones and internet and data, but, you know, Cisco systems and Voya and those kinds of phone systems. They acquired Continuant, and during COVID, they actually were seeing an uptick in businesses and opportunity to sell Microsoft Teams to these enterprise companies who needed a better solution, especially while they were distributed. And Continuant's about, I think it's about 250 people up in Tacoma, Washington, and Washington obviously was hit very, very hard during all of this. And so they actually spun up a sales team here in Reading. They hired 15 people during COVID, and they sold like crazy. And they sold a bunch of, they were calling on a bunch of different companies and municipalities and school districts and things like that. And after all was said and done, it was kind of a temporary project. They were actually able to keep 11 of those people on here in Reading. And I heard from, and I went and visited them during all of that. And the CEO was very impressed, just the productivity and the talent capacity and level that we have here in Reading. I think sales, and we've talked about it briefly before in the past, but sales and that sales cycle and those, that talent pool of people here in town that have worked at places like In Computing and Hexagon, you know, there's hundreds of them in town, and they can work anywhere they want, and they contract with companies outside of the area. And so I think there's opportunities for more of that kind of thing to happen where, you know, maybe Continuum will decide to hire more people here rather than their Tacoma office, and then, you know, see a shift towards moving more people to Reading. So I think that's a great opportunity for us that we haven't really been quite as focused on the recruitment side in the past, but professional services, engineering, you know, people that can live anywhere with portable jobs. You know, we want to see more of those people here in Chester County.
Yeah, especially when you're but you also mentioned that the tough thing with that is if you're working down in the Bay Area, all your contacts are there. And if you've got a smaller business of, you know, 20 people, that leaving that area is very they have a lot of doubts about that.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that I grew up here or that I met when I lived in the Bay Area about 7 or 8 years ago that work at Twitter and Facebook and Google and venture capital firms, and especially the ones that are from here, because Boomerangs, I think we have a great opportunity to get them back up here. But I'm like, come on, guys, move back to Reading. You can do what you're doing now. You could work remote, or you could work for a different company at a very high level, and your quality of life is just going to be, you know, tremendously increased, as I think we all know. Mm-hmm. But their big thing is they want to be close to other talent, and replicating that talent pool is very difficult because, you know, my generation, the average tenure at a job is like 3 years. I hope to be at the EDC for much longer than I've already been here longer than 3 years. But they like to move around and go back and forth. So they'll go to Apple and Google and Facebook and try things out. And it's, even though it's a big, you know, there's a lot of people down there, it's still a relatively small community within your area of expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And so they like to have those options and say, I can, you know, if I move, I'm removed from that and it's harder for me. And I actually, my friend that works at Twitter, they did an internal poll and a majority of Twitter employees wanted to come back to work. And my friend said the other part of the people that didn't want to come back to work were the ones that don't have kids. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, it's just, you know, it's tough. But Twitter feeds you, and they provide all your coffee and beer, and it's all free. And, I mean, it's, you know, it's like this little paradise.
Well, I think when they took another poll down at Twitter, they thought that Lennon and Mark's birthday should be a national holiday here in the United States.
No comment.
You don't even know what to say on that one.
No comment. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just saying that Twitter's, you know.
Twitter's interesting. There are, I do know conservatives that work at tech companies too, though, so.
But nobody else knows it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think
they don't go out there and go, man, am I going to vote for Trump this year?
Right.
No, I bet they don't say that out loud, do they?
It depends. Some of them, I have friends that work at Google that are pretty outspoken,
uh-huh.
But they actually get a lot of respect from their peers.
You know what? You should be able to, whether you're a liberal or a conservative, you should be able to express your views in the workplace. You know, I'm not talking about why you're supposed to be working, but, you know, there's times when you're not. And everybody should just be able to go, you know what? I really disagree with you, but gosh, you're doing a great job on this.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
We
got away from that.
I think this is probably a dangerous rabbit trail for me to go down. But, you know, I did, after getting out of the Marine Corps, I went to Humboldt State because I'm from Trinity. It's close to home. I didn't expect to go into kind of like government and politics, but I had a political science degree,
mm-hmm.
and I was the only conservative person in the political science program, you know, by far. There's no one even close to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be as open as I wanted to be, but I had the utmost respect for my peers, my professors. You know, we talked about all kinds of issues, and it never was a negative experience.
But that's and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know what? I have very good friends that are just really liberal, and but it doesn't mean I don't like them. It doesn't mean I don't respect them. But do you think that might have something to do with it? That, you know, when people look at coming up to Shasta County, they think of Shasta County as being, oh, there's that very conservative place up there. We wouldn't fit in.
I think so. So we work very closely with the governor's Office of Business and Economic Development. Mm-hmm. And I work with the governor's appointees. So the governor has thousands of people he appoints into office. And so I work with his direct appointees at GoBiz is what we call it. And I spoke with them yesterday. They called me and actually congratulated me on the promotion. I'm not sure quite how they heard about it so quickly, but they did. And I was flattered, and I have a great relationship with them. And they said, hey, you know, we want to try to do something. And they didn't really give me a lot of details, but they wanted to kind of get a pulse on the business community up here and how everyone was feeling about things. I said, you know, Gavin Newsom's he's not the most popular person in Shasta County, but you know, we want to work with you guys and we want to do what we can. And if there's some common ground we can find, and be more proactive to help our businesses up here, because we are so different than the rest of the state, you know, we want to make sure our voices are heard and that we're not heard as crazy people. You know, we want to have a productive dialogue with that office and say, hey, here's the things that, you know, we think we could do better up here or do differently because of our population density, because of all these different things. And so, just maintaining respect and communication, no matter who we're talking to, I think is the most important thing we can do.
You know, the fact is that Newsom is our governor.
That's right.
Also.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether, you know, that he gets a vote up here or not, we're still his constituents. We still live in his state that he's been elected to govern, that they should be assisting us up here. I mean, they shouldn't be the only time they come up here is when a fire burns a town and kills 84 people. You know, and even then, from what I understand, they're pulling water out of the Paradise Water Project. I can't believe that.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. That's very unfortunate. But hopefully, you know, I know the Dallies and Jim Gallagher and all those folks down there are working really hard to get that back in the budget.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here with Todd Jones, who's going to be the incoming president of the Shasta County Economic Development Corporation here on July 1st. And we're talking about business and business in Shasta County and the projects that they're doing to have to open up people's eyes about how good it could be for people to work up here, and also Stillwater, and how, you know, Stillwater has got two places there, and they're looking to have a third come in here soon. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank, community oriented, dedicated. And they are local, locally owned, locally operated, local board of directors, three branches, one in Red Bluff at 500 Riverside Way, but two right here in Redding at 1845 California Street and at the old Raley Shopping Center at 192 Hartnell Avenue. They're still, after all of this, with everything that's going on, they're still moving local dreams forward. Learn more. Stop in there. Talk to them. You won't be sorry. Or visit them online at bankcornerstone.com. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. We'll be right back after these messages. 70 degrees going up to a very modest 101 today.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
On a warm summer's evening, train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns staring out the window at the darkness. The boredom overtook us, and he began to speak.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here 605-4567, 7:37 in the morning, 70 degrees out there, going up to 101 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Here the 19th of June, Friday. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair. He doesn't practice. He knows what he's doing. He's been repairing windshields for years and is a Bureau of Automotive Repair approved business. Don't fool around with your family safety. Get it repaired the proper way, and that's the Crackmaster way. Chips up to smaller, just like little rock chips. And even up to the size of a quarter, he can fix those, but also cracks over 2.5 feet in length. That's Jeff Wurst. He guarantees his work. It's a veteran-owned business, and you won't be disappointed. Located at 3208 South Market Street, or give him a call, 241-8373 for an appointment today. I'm here with Todd Jones, who is the incoming president of the Shasta Economic Development Corporation. The COVID has, of course, clobbered businesses here. But yet you told me during the break that our unemployment rate is lower than all of California's, or the average of California.
It's lower than the average right now, and not by much, but we'll take it because it doesn't happen very often. So right now, as of the end of May, we are at 15.9% unemployment, which is very, very high. We were at about 4.5% prior to COVID here in Shasta County, and the state average right now is 16.1%. But I think the interesting thing is if you look at the breakdown, so we had an economist, Doc Heiler, who's kind of the North State's economist, if you will. He's very, very well regarded, and he's on a lot of different programming for events and things like that. We had him a couple weeks ago give a Shasta County economic update. You can find it on our Facebook page. We broadcasted it live there. And if you look at the breakdown of different sectors, I think that was what was the most interesting, because like leisure and hospitality, the state average is 45.9% unemployment. But in Shasta County, it was roughly, 14%. So for most of the areas, we were quite a bit lower than the state average. And I think we were able to kind of weather this. And if you're, business owners out there and people that don't have a job right now, you might think I'm crazy because I know it's been very difficult for everybody. But on average, you know, we've done a little bit better than the rest of the state because we have a diversified economy. And we do have more, you know, companies that are able to continue working, manufacturing, tech workers. And then obviously the infrastructure, healthcare is a big employer here. All the construction was able to continue. That was a big boon. So all those things combined helped us, I think, weather it a lot better. And I think we're going to get out of it a little bit quicker because of that population density and the way that we've been able to kind of react. And
well, we have a lot of federal, state, and city government workers, and then, like you said, major hospitals here. So a lot of people, you know, school teachers, I mean, you think about it, we have a lot of people that are getting paid on a regular two-week basis that have money and can, you know, put it back into the economy. At the same time, we have small businesses that just barely hung on. And then, right. And then they have to wonder about opening up with under these rules that Newsom has laid on us. And then now everybody has to wear a mask. I'm glad to see that you and I are both wearing masks.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thin enough to get through. Yeah. No interruption in sound quality.
Okay. But now he made that announcement. And that's got people all running in circles now too.
Yeah.
Because it's okay, we're going to open this up, but you kids are out there swimming. If you're getting too close, I guess you're going to have to wear a mask, but not while in the water. So I'm not sure how this is going to work.
You know, I think up here again we're a little bit isolated, and I think, you know, it's the mask issue is very controversial. I think, as we know, people that think we all should wear them and people that really don't give a rip. So I think it's whatever works best for you. And you know, I think we need to, you know, follow those rules in order to keep our businesses safe. At the end of the day, whether you like it or not, you know, I was probably a little too crass there. I think we need to just make sure our businesses can stay open. So if yes. It means wear a mask when you go inside, wear a mask. You know, it's not a big deal. If it's going to mean the health of our citizens, and not most importantly, but also equally importantly, the health of our businesses. We need to keep everybody safe, and it is what it is. It's unfortunate.
A question is here. Do you get a feeling about businesses that aren't going to open again, reopen? Are y'all hearing anything about that? Or,
you know, there's, you know, some of those national chains you've heard about, like Pier 1 and a few other things like that, that are closing down. You know, the businesses that we interact with the most are manufacturers, technology, startups, professional services. Most of them are doing pretty well. You know, I think Jake, and I know you've had Jake on here probably several times during this whole thing. I think Jake has a little bit better pulse of the kind of the small retail mom and pop, especially, you know, downtown type businesses that aren't going to be reopening. I think he has a little bit better pulse on that than I do. But I haven't heard personally of a lot, but I know there's some out there that aren't going to open up, and it's tragic. And I just hope that we can bounce back from this, and it creates opportunities for new enterprises to open up.
Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Morning, you two. How you doing?
Couldn't be better.
Good. Anyway, this morning, as you know, there was an article in the Record Search site, but we had a conference call last night with some folks. First of all, Orange County is not going to comply, and that's 4 million people, with the governor's statement. And there's probably thousands of people on Facebook, on Twitter, et cetera, saying that if any business requires them to go in with a mask, they won't go into that business. The Health and Safety Department head of Orange County also said that this has to be an individual choice, basically. And also, the sheriff of Orange County said he's not going to enforce it because he believes it's individual. James Gallagher, the assemblyman for the counties down below us, James also said that this is just too ambiguous. The governor can't make up his mind. He doesn't see how anybody can follow this. So I think that there comes a point where we don't comply. And this Sunday on Jefferson State Mine, probably going over into Sovereign Mines, we will have medical experts and people who are in political office, et cetera, talking about how this mask thing is just maybe the last straw.
Well, you know what? The Orange County public health officer resigned last week after she faced threats over her order that people wear masks. And as you pointed out, the county sheriff said he wouldn't enforce it anyway. And, you know, that's the one thing. It's one thing to say everybody's going to wear masks, but there's nothing in it about how it's going to be enforced. And if you know, businesses stayed open, they didn't enforce that, I'm not sure how they can enforce masks. I understand about people that have underlying conditions in their families that, that you know, that wearing a mask is real important, and they wish other people would. But this is just kind of, I think you may be right. This may be that, you know, that last gasp out there.
I think that you made a good point yesterday, and I thought you did anyway. I thought you made a good point in saying, you know, that's kind of a personal choice. I mean, you know, if you want to keep your social distancing, do so. If you want to wear a mask, do so. But there's no evidence, scientific evidence, and that's the problem that they're having in Orange County, is that there really isn't any scientific evidence that these masks help. For one thing, they can't do anything about a virus anyway because particles are too small. They're 1,000 times smaller than a bacteria. The one thing we have up here, you guys, is we have heat. It'll be 100 degrees. That virus doesn't like heat, remember?
We know that. Okay, Terry, thanks a lot. We've got to take a break.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. Okay, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, which is air-conditioned. And it's great air conditioning in there. When it's 101, you can go in there and spend your time at the only full-service jewelry store in Reading and look in there and find those great gifts and those great the great jewelry they have there. If you can't find something that's just perfect for you, talk to Rebecca and Henry, and they will help you design it, and they'll build it for you. And then you'll have a unique piece of jewelry nobody else has. You can get that at Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 at 2225 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. We'll be right back after these messages, and I think I'm going to give away some Bear Bucks to Black Bear Diner as soon as we return from these messages.
Let's see, coffee, got it, radio, dialed in, check, showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right, join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Hi, it's Brian Martin, General Manager of RiverComp Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
The Backbone Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Backbone Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar. Try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Backbone Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Good morning. Welcome back to Fly Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Today, the 19th of June, 7:50 in the morning, 72 degrees out there, going up to 101 today, around 101. And when it gets up to 100.
Springtime weather, 101.
Springtime weather. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. You know, when you start thinking about a place to go to, if you have to go in for surgeries, why not go into a place that's one of the highest rated in the country? If it's anything to do with your heart, that Shasta Regional Medical Center is in the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. And you think about that, I mean, why not go to the best? And this is one of the best in the nation at Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm going to give away $10 worth of Black Bear Diner tickets right now to the first person that calls. They're Black Bear Diner Bear Bucks. So give us a call at 605-4567. We're going to ask your name and your phone number. And then you come down here and pick them up. And for Sungold, I am mailing yours today. So I guess we can mail them too, but it's better to come on down here and pick it up, get your chance of being exposed to COVID. What? No, we don't have it down here. We social distance ourselves here, and everybody is wearing masks. Not. I'm here with Don Jones, Shasta County Economic Development Corporation. And in this last segment, what are you looking at now taking over? What are some of the things? I don't say anything about Tony. Tony did a great job. But what are things that you're going to change as we move forward?
Yeah, so I'm very grateful for Tony's leadership, and we have a great board. Michelle Godert, who's a downtown realtor primarily, she's going to be our board chair starting July 1st, and Joe Cerami was our board chair. He still currently is. And so we have a lot of great people on our board, very seasoned, and some new young folks as well that just bring a lot of different perspectives. And, I think when I did the economic update with Dr. Eiler, I kind of did a SWOT analysis, so strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I feel and see there's a lot more opportunities than anything else here with Shasta County. So we did a strategic planning session last year. We put the pieces together for that. And there's four main areas that we do. And I'll just touch those briefly and then talk about some new things I think we could look at. But we do business recruitment, business retention and expansion, airline services, and startup support. We have a great startup community here. But I think for opportunities, specifically on manufacturing, we still want to look at those opportunities and get even more narrow focus for timber industry. So secondary forest products, which we've talked about on the show before. So
yeah,
people that are using wood to make things and build things, engineered wood products, cross-laminated timber, that is a big industry right now. It's growing very rapidly. And so we see a big opportunity with that we're seeing bipartisan support on. The governor's office wants to see it happen up here. The national, federal office, the president's office does. I mean, there's a lot of synergy in that area. So we want to get more into that. And then also there's remote workers, which we talked about. We definitely want to do a concerted effort to try to get more remote workers and get that talent up here. I mean, there's some cities that are offering, Savannah, Georgia, for example, is offering $2,000, which really doesn't seem like a lot, $2,000 to any tech worker that signs a one-year lease to live in their city that has 3 years of experience. And so looking at creative things like that, I don't think we'll be doing that here anytime soon. But the remote workers, and then just really branding ourselves, doubling down, utilizing some of the momentum from the city identity project, the downtown revitalization, Redding Electric Utility, which is our best economic incentive for California. Right here we have it with the ability to offer cheap utilities and reliable utilities. I think that's the biggest thing.
Are you working with the Wonderland Association?
Yeah, absolutely. Lori Baker at the Shasta Cascade Wonderland Association. Yeah. And then Jake Mangus, of course, at the Chamber. We're all working together. We're kind of the EDC is the tip of the spear for business recruitment. We're kind of the outside marketing agency. Jake's kind of the inside marketing. And then Lori, does the tourism. And people move to places off sometimes based on where they want to be and live and where they've recreated.
It seems like we could have, and I'm sure you're doing this, that, you know, using their going out to all these tourism, you know, pushing tourism, but at the same time, Titian, it's a great place to work.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, pushing how our schools are good, that we have great health facilities up here. Because, you know, people that when they're moving, they need to see these things.
Right. Now, I think that's the thing. I mean, one of Lori's main goals is to help increase transient occupancy tax, TOT, right? So people that come here for less than 30 days, stay in hotels, go to restaurants, you know, that's a big goal for her. And I think what we want to do with working with Jake and myself is we want to get those people here to visit, and we want to figure out ways that we can help them stay here.
So quickly, what can we do to make Shasta County more inviting? Right now, and I hate to keep bringing it up, but we look at the homeless.
Right.
You know, I think crime here is no different than anywhere else in California. In fact, maybe even less. It's not in your face all the time, and people will argue with me about that, but I have lived in cities where it isn't in your face all the time. We don't have somebody walking down the street and knocking a 90-year-old woman down with impunity. But things like that, what kind of impact?
Well, I think the biggest thing we need to do, and I'm a big fan of the Reading City Identity Project that the Ford Reading Foundation and the Chamber put together, we need to think better of ourselves. And we need to do more. You know, I'm working on the search engine optimization program through the City Identity Project. We need to think better because we are a great community to live in. And when somebody comes into a community and they're hearing the residents and the waitresses and their waiters and their baristas and everybody saying, oh, this is great, you should go do this, do that, you know, that is where we're going to win people over. When they come into a city and they feel like the residents love their city, that's what's going to help people stay here.
If we could just make everybody that worked like – and, you know, and I'm not saying others aren't, but Dutch Bros.
Right.
If you don't feel loved, if you don't feel loved after going to Dutch Bros, then there's something wrong with you. Okay. But if, you know, but I agree with you. And if we could get behind this instead of, oh, look at all of that. Look how bad it is here. Well, it's not bad here. I mean, I have lived in places where it's bad. I mean, really bad.
Right.
And I've lived in places in the United States where it's bad. But Reading has got so many. That's why Linda and I've stayed here.
For those that have been here for, you know, 50 years, and they've seen this very slow migration to where we're at today, I mean, it's still nothing compared to many many other places in the country. I'm super fortunate and blessed to live in this community. I feel safe and supported, and I think more people just need to recognize the benefits that we do have that are here, and then we can go out and do that outbound marketing, and when they come to visit. Or they Google and, you know, go to Reading.com. You know, they're going to see some of the good things that are going on, some of the positive things.
Okay, here's my idea, and I keep saying it, and I bring it up every year or so. We need to have a national search for the next great ideas, and we take college seniors, let them apply for it. This is what their idea is, and when they come here, they get free offices down at the EDC. They get free electricity. They get all the support they need, and you take 10 of them. And maybe one of them is the next Yahoo.
Yeah.
Maybe one of them is the next app that hires 1,000 people. But that will bring Shasta County and Reading onto the map. Hey, we are going to give 10 people this chance to be stars for a year.
I think the broadband is going to help us do that as well. I mean, and a couple of weeks ago, City Council voted to increase the fiber count to connect all the REU stations, which really, if you don't really understand what that meant, you know, that means they're looking forward to how they're going to do the citywide fiber network a lot quicker and better and more efficiently. And so they made it a little bit more of an investment now to make for a much greater impact in the future.
Well, we need to do that. We need this fiber optic cable, people. And if we can get a lot of it from the grants, but I've said this before, my sister lives in Chattanooga. When they brought that in there, it was a huge impact on that community as far as business. And being able to attract businesses in here, that's what will bring in the portions out of the bay if they have that. This is ones that'll come in wanting to open up new tech businesses that are good for the environment. We don't have to worry about that. But also everybody, it will affect everybody around here, and it's so positive.
And it makes our community safer and better because our municipalities will be able to use that backbone fiber as well. And so I think it's a triple win.
Okay. Todd, congratulations on your new position as president of the Shasta County Economic Development
Corporation. Thanks, Carl. Happy to be here.
Well, won't be the last time. Hey, when we get back, we have Chief Bill Shuler. We have Jasmine Victoria. We're going to be talking about opening lines of communication and how we can do that most effectively.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
This hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. President Trump is marking Juneteenth as calls for racial justice rise nationwide.
In a White House statement, the president says Juneteenth is a reminder of both the unimaginable injustice of slavery and the incomparable joy of emancipation. He says it is both a remembrance of a blight on our history and a celebration of our nation's unsurpassed ability to triumph over darkness. The Trump campaign sparked an outcry by originally scheduling a political rally in Tulsa on Juneteenth before pushing the Tulsa event to Saturday. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The president says he will pursue his drive to end the DACA program. Writing on Twitter, Mr. Trump declares, "I have wanted to take care of DACA recipients better than the do-nothing Democrats." The Supreme Court blocked on procedural grounds the attempt to end DACA. The president says he'll be releasing a new list of conservative Supreme Court nominees. Mr. Trump says, based on the decisions being rendered now, this list is more important than ever. Republican Senator Marco Rubio says that too many of the justices behave like lawmakers instead of judges.
You have a Supreme Court that appears to be legislating. And what really troubles a lot of people is that some of the folks that the Republican Party has put on this bench to be, not because of policy conclusions, but because they say that they understand that their job is to interpret the law, not to write it, are becoming activists.
Growing numbers of Trump supporters camping outside the site of tomorrow's planned campaign rally in Tulsa. The attendees apparently not especially concerned about COVID-19 and fears that the event could spread the virus. Public health officials urging participants to take precautions just the same. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 142 points. The S&P 19 points higher. The NASDAQ Composite Index up 85. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The British government borrowed 9 times more money last month than in May of last year, the UK borrowing almost $70 billion, which was a monthly record.
In May, the economic shutdown meant the taxman collected 31% less in tax than he did last year. At the same time, central government spending jumped by 50%, for example, on the job retention scheme and the self-employed income support scheme. That forced the government to borrow £55 billion in May alone to cover the gap between its income and its spending. Add that to the debt already accumulated, and the UK's public sector debt jumped by more than 20 percentage points to reach nearly £2 trillion. That's a little more than the size of the entire economy, the first time it's been that high in 57 years.
That's the BBC's Andy Verity. A car carrying 7 Pakistani migrants believed to have just crossed the land border from Turkey crashed in northern Greece. 1 man killed, 6 other people in the car injured. News and analysis, townhall.com. If a state flag stays, the Southeastern Conference may go.
Officials are considering barring league championship events in Mississippi until the state changes its Confederate-based flag. Commissioner Greg Sankey saying it's past time for Mississippi to change its flag. He says students deserve an opportunity to learn and compete in inclusive and welcoming environments. The NCAA already said it would not schedule postseason events in Mississippi because of the flag. And Governor Tate Reeves says if the flag's going to be redesigned, it should be done by voters in a statewide election. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A Confederate monument has been removed by crane from a town square near Atlanta amid cheers from a watching crowd. As midnight approached, the obelisk glorifying the lost cause was laid on its side and moved to a waiting truck in Decatur, Georgia. Watching Wall Street this hour, the Dow is up 165 points, the S&P up 21. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, celebrating over 10 years on the air. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And we are streaming live around the world today, the 19th of June, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, courage. Your health, your choice. So good morning, everybody. And I have with me at the helm, Jared. Good morning,
good
buddy.
Good morning.
What's the weather look like?
It is currently 76 degrees. Today it's going to be high of 101, low of 68. Tomorrow is a high of 101, low of 68. Sunday, high of 101, low of 69. And on Monday, we're going to get real high with a high of 107 and a low of 73.
Ooh. So we're looking back at yesterday of 98 as being the balmy, the spring.
It was downright cool.
Downright cool. Okay, hey, weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. Discounts for seniors and veterans, veteran-owned business in Anderson, locally owned, locally operated. So let's go to the phone. Susan Eastman from our Wells Fargo Advisors. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, everyone. Well, major averages are in the green after hearing positive news out of China. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 177 points at 26,253. The S&P 500 is positive 19 points at 3,135. The NASDAQ Composite gaining 93 points at 10,036. Active stocks on the NASDAQ, Microsoft up $1.63. Trade at 197.94. DraftKings down 11 cents. Trade at 40.71. AMD up 6 cents at $54.63. For local stocks of interest, FedEx up 85 cents, trading at $139.20. Costco up $1.34 at $300.74. AT&T positive 8 cents, trading at $30.42. In the bond department, the 10-year Treasury note is priced to yield 0.72%. And over to commodities, gold is up $20 an ounce at $1,753. Silver positive 42 cents at $17.88 per ounce. And crude oil up $1 at $40 a barrel. That's the market for now. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors for KCNR.
Hey, Susan, thanks. A lot of information there. Have a great weekend.
It's a good one.
It's a
good one.
Okay, thanks a lot. Be careful out there. It's going to be hot. Susan is the first vice president of financial advisors there at Wells Fargo Advisors, located at 2705 Park Marina Drive here in Reading. You can reach her at 530-243-7561. So in the studio with me is, I feel I'm getting a celebrity shiver here of having people that have been in the paper and the news. Oh, my gosh. No, the shiver's not running up my leg like Chris Matthews. But I'm here with Reading Police Chief. Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning.
I know. Well, I live that one down. And the two organizers of the March for Justice, and Jensine Victoria.
Good morning.
And Tinashe Lorray.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, we wanted to have a dialogue here, which has been going on for the last few weeks, probably the first time maybe ever in our area out here, about what's going on with our, with diversity in our area, that reaching out to people in the best way, not in the worst way. So let me start out here with Jensen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us again.
Absolutely.
And I just want you to talk into there as much as you'd like to look at me. You know how your eyes are. Ruggedly handsome warrior of the seas, Marine. But okay, you didn't have to gag when I said it. All right. since we've seen you, there's been a number of things that have happened here. As everybody knows, we've had a series of protests here in Reading, all peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow some people have focused on the people going to the protest instead of the end result.
Right.
And which to me was kind of strange that we had peaceful protests. People came together. And then after that, we had the large march mm-hmm. in Caldwell Park, like 1,500 people, mm-hmm. no problems. And so what do you think of what you've seen here, Jensen?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people just need to realize that this is much bigger than Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd. It's a problem that's systemic. And if you look at the history of Reading, you know, it's funny, it's actually amazing that we did the march at Caldwell Park because that's how SCAR started. And it started in the summer of 1988. A black man and a white woman standing together in Reading's Caldwell Park were shot by someone in a passing car. And then later on, they had an influx of Asian refugees that came, and there was a lot of people yelling, "Learn English, you're not welcome here." And so in 1994, and you probably know this, is SCCAR was started. And so when we look at the history of Reading, this is saying much more than just this happened a month ago and we need to fight for this. This is something that's much bigger, and it starts in the history of our soil. And what I really think is it's a cry to restore the badge as a symbol of public faith. We've kind of lost a lot of that public faith in law enforcement. And I do come from a history of police enforcement. My uncle was in the force for 30 years. He's my adopted father, actually. And he was a detective. And so I know what it's like to actually firsthand. I lived with him and mm-hmm. his wife, who are my adopted parents, and seeing what that looks like to have faith in someone who I consider to me a hero. But there are people in the city that have not seen the police like that, and it's valid because of the experiences of their and their interactions with the police. And so it's much bigger than actually police brutality. It's about community trust, and that's why we're here today, because there are so many factors that go into community trust besides just, you know, the police force. There's also, you know, our city council and our city managers and a lot of legislation that needs to take place.
Okay. And Chief, good morning.
Good morning.
I imagine that the when you hear terms like police brutality or unfairness, what, you know, when you hear things like this, and having been, you know, a Reading resident and worked your way through the ranks of our police, when you hear things like that, what do you think?
Well, two things. One, I think that locally we do a really good job with our staff and our training and our backgrounds and our hiring process to hire good people to make good decisions. I also think our officers are human like everybody else. And we make mistakes. And I also think on a national level, this issue is a significant issue. In California, we have the highest standards, the highest amount of training than any other state in the nation. And other cities and states throughout the United States don't have standards like that, don't have hiring standards, and we don't share information on problems and problem officers. And there's no database that says, hey, we fired this guy because he's, let's say, used excessive force in a case or whatever it may be, and then another agency goes and hires that person. There's no way for that agency to look that person up unless the applicant is honest about where they worked. So that's an issue that needs to be resolved on a national level. So I think there is a lot of room to grow. But I also think here in our department and in Shasta County, we've done a really good job in the last 25, 30 years of building our departments, building up our community trust, as we talked about, working with our minority communities. But again, we can always do better, and that's my goal.
Okay, and I tell you what, Tinashe, good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first time you've been here.
It is.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm originally from Oklahoma City. So I've experienced more Southern culture than Redding, California, NorCal. I moved here from Los Angeles, and you know, I've grown up learning a great deal about Black history. My parents, my mom and my dad, were very adamant about taking us to different historical sites in the South, from Virginia to D.C. to Georgia, the Carolinas. So I sit in many an underground railroad, and many a plantation, locations where the civil rights movement happened, and places where just extreme brutality has happened, and also where extreme victory has happened. And so I've sort of been in, it's been ingrained in me since a young kid to care about the plight of Black people, of indigenous people. But my dad's also a preacher. So a lot of what frames my vision for it is also the gospel of Jesus, and making sure that there's a pathway to redemption every time that we approach this. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about me. I moved here from ministry school and decided to stick around because, you know, there's some really cool budding things in Redding, California.
I think there's a lot of great things about Redding. And we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about opening up these lines and where we can go from here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Home Helpers. Home Helpers is one of those businesses that started right here in Redding. By Sharon Clark 16 years ago, and she has some of the best trained, the finest people working for her to come into your home and to help your loved ones or you, whether it's a couple hours a day or if it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. She has that capability to help your family, keep them in their home where they're the happiest, where they can recover, like say from surgeries, or just be taken care of. That's Redding Home Helpers. Learn more at readinghomehelpers.com or give them a call at 226-8350. Redding Home Helpers. We'll be right back.
This is Redding Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Redding utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit RedingChamber.com or cityofredding.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local? It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years. Helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do. It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home. Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982, we're all in it together. Our elderly, they're not just people that are older. They're grandmothers that share their secret recipes. The grandpa that tells heartfelt stories of a much more simpler time. They're our living link to the past and a vital part of our future. While most are cherished, sadly, many are abused. Shining Care is providing an opportunity for our community to promote a better understanding of abuse and neglect of older persons by raising awareness and providing invaluable information during the free webinar on June 26th, 11 a.m. to 1:30, featuring world-renowned keynote speaker Paul Greenwood and an interactive panel of local experts and officials. Topics including tips on elder abuse prevention for people of all ages, how to reduce the risk of elder abuse culled from his extensive criminal prosecution of felony elder abuse, neglect, and exploitation, plus info on COVID-19 scams, self-isolation with an older adult loved one, and the pent-up frustrations, and much more. Registration at shiningcare.org/events or 232-5543. Sponsored by PS2 Agency on Aging, Ombudsman, Cornerstone Community Bank, My Umbrella Marketing, and Marquis Shasta.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Welcome back to 3-5 Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Phone line 605-4567, and I'll get to you, Jimmy, as soon as I finish right here. It is about 73 degrees right now, going up to a balmy 101 today. This is one of those times, you remember, if you've been having your dog ride around with you, this may not be the time to leave him in the car or anything in the car and walk off for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, because it'll get too hot in there. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has been helping families, veterans, seniors, business owners since 1993 and does just a great job at it, whether you have an insurance question or what about your finances with all the craziness going on in the stock market. Judy and her people are well-trained. They understand what's going on, and they can help you. Give her a call at 221-0441, located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, right here in Reading. And I'm here with Reading Police Chief Bill Shuler, Tinashe Luray, and Jasmine Victoria. Here we're talking about building trust in the community with the police. And so let's go on forward with that. It's during the break we talked about that trying to say every police organization is as bad as the one in Minneapolis, even though I don't know how bad Minneapolis is. But if you just look at the what's going on there, you have to say to yourself they may have lost control, and other organizations, I think, isn't fair. And I don't think anybody thinks that it's fair to say all police organizations should be looked at as being like the one in Minneapolis. However, everybody agrees that there are things that we can do better.
Yeah.
One of the things that you talked about, Chief, was dealing with mental health out there on the streets.
Right. Over the years, the police department has become the mental health, I don't want to say provider, but the first responder for mental health cases where folks are in crisis, whether they're transients or homeless folks out on the street, to someone in their own home who's in crisis, and we're the first responders for that. And it's we've done a really good job training our officers in crisis intervention training. We've through Shasta County Mental Health and through Post, so our officers, 96% of our officers are CIT trained, but a lot of those cases are not a law enforcement response, and they don't need to be. So we've been very successful working with Hill Country Medical to have them respond on those cases where there isn't an immediate threat to the public or necessarily immediate threat to that person. So that's been very helpful. What I would like to see, and the sheriff and I have talked about it, and we've talked with the head of HHSA, Donnell Ewart, about this, and we're going to talk about it more this next month, is putting together a team of officers and social workers or mental health workers that deal with these issues specifically. San Antonio Police Department has an excellent model on this. It was an HBO special that talk about this, and they have a team of officers that are in plain clothes. They have body armor underneath their shirts. They have their weapons concealed. They drive unmarked police cars, and they work with mental health workers to go out in the field and deal with these folks that are in crisis in a different way. And it's been very, very successful. And I'm hopeful that between the sheriff's office and us and Anderson and public health, we can collaborate on that and have kind of a regional response model where we have a couple of officers and a mental health worker available as many hours a day, many days of the week as possible to respond to any incident like that in the county. And I think that would have a significant impact on those kind of incidents.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Jimmy, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, no worries. I got a couple quick comments, and I'll let you guys talk about it. You know, police pulling police pull everybody over. I've been pulled over so many times because back in the day I had long hair. You know what? I complied with the police. They let me go because there was nothing to it. Now, there's an episode of Cops I seen that was shot in Georgia. They had a call about some guy asleep in his truck with the music blaring, and so the police roll up on this guy. It was a black guy in his truck with the music blaring. They look in the car. He had a pistol in his lap. So the cops pull the guy out, handcuff him, question him, why are you here? He said, hey, I'm here to visit my brother-in-law, my sister. You know, I'm going through some stuff, you know, and they asked, why do you have this gun? He said, for protection. It's an open carry state, so he legally had a right to carry that pistol. They talked to his brother-in-law and his sister. They said, yeah, he's going through some stuff. He was coming over to talk to us. And he even admitted he'd been drinking early in the day. Well, the police said, okay, you check out. Here's your gun back. Have a nice day. And the black guy looked at the camera and said, you see that, folks? I comply with the police, and I'm going home tonight. That's my first comment. Now, my second one is about this guy that got shot in Atlanta at the Wendy's. The district attorney for Atlanta is charging this office. Now, let me say right now, folks, I think the George Floyd incident, that cop should be prosecuted for what he did. I don't know anybody that would disagree with me. But this guy in Atlanta fought with the police, took the officer's taser gun, and was running away from him and actually shot that taser gun at the police officer before he was shot and killed. Now, the district attorney said that the police did not have the right to shoot him because it was a lethal weapon.
Yeah, he charged him with murder.
And on film, folks, 2 weeks ago, that same district attorney is charging six officers with the use of deadly force, and he said on film, it's on video, saying that under Georgia law, a taser gun is a lethal weapon. So he's going to have a hard time with that in court. So I just want to ask the police chief real quick, and then I'll get off the phone. Is a taser gun in this part of the country considered a deadly weapon? And I'll listen to my answer off the air. Bye.
So a taser gun is not considered a lethal weapon, in generally speaking. Depends on how it was used. So if you got shot in the eye and I mean, you could have that if you had if someone shot an officer with a taser gun and had the ability to take their firearm from them, then when we talk about building community trust or building trust with our police departments, this is the exact issue that we're talking about. If the city of Atlanta had trust with their community, they would be able, and their police department, they would be able to sit down and talk about this very incident with their minority leaders, their community leaders, and show them that there is a clear and transparent investigation in that incident. Mm-hmm. But because we don't have that community trust, the community reacts quickly, and it becomes a very political issue, and they don't give time for an investigation to be complete. The Georgia Bureau investigation, who's an independent organization to investigate that incident, hasn't even completed their investigation yet. There's a lot more to that incident than what the video shows. It's very unlike George Floyd. George Floyd was so clear-cut that there's just no doubt in anyone's mind, especially a police officer's mind, that that should not have happened. But in this other incident in Atlanta, there's a lot more to be done. I'm not willing to say right now that he was justified in shooting or not. I think there's it could go either way. His state of mind, that officer's state of mind, is so important. And it hasn't been talked about. I don't even know if he's been interviewed yet. So I go back to this community trust issue. If we had an incident like that in this town, let's say it was with a black man in a similar situation, I think we're at a starting point or at a mid, maybe a mid, more of a midway point where we can build on that community trust. And I would make a phone call to Eddie McAllister or to Abu or to any one of these other community leaders, minority group leaders that I know, and bring them in right away on an incident like that. That morning, right then, show them the video, talk to them about the investigation, be clear and transparent with them, and get them on the same page with us, knowing that we'll do the right thing, that we'll do a clear investigation, unbiased investigation with our outside agencies. But until we build that community trust, the police department's always going to look, no matter what, we're always going to look like the video is going to show it, and that's the bottom line. That's exactly what happened, and there's no other. It's we have to continue to keep that dialogue open and build that trust.
Tinashe, what do you think when you hear the chief say that?
You know, I think it's great, especially when looking at Reading. You know, talking with different indigenous people groups here, and there are not very many black people here compared to when you're down in L.A. or Atlanta. You know,
it's like a. Was it 2 to 3% of our population are people of color?
Yeah, it's something really, like really low. But there also are, you know, just different experiences that people do have. And sometimes it's not as cut and dry as, like, the caller was making it to be. Because for every one story I can hear of someone that was let off because they complied, I got three stories of my black brothers and my black male friends that it wasn't treated that way. In fact, there was actually a video that was circulating yesterday of a police officer, a law enforcement individual who was he was in plain clothes. He was off duty. And when he was being stopped, he was being mistreated. And the police officer asked, do you have any, you know, weapons or guns or knives in the car? And guns, knives, or bombs in the car. And he said, yes, I do have a gun. I do have a knife. And immediately the police officer puts his hand on his weapon. And
had he already seen the ID?
No.
Oh, he hadn't seen the ID.
The guy was like, well, he's recognizing that his behavior now has turned to your threat. And so this is a law enforcement individual who is now being pulled over. So he's looking at him going, okay, I know this behavior, and I'm not a threat right now. I have a legal right to carry. And he's letting him know that he's a law enforcement. He's like, okay, show me your badge. He's like, I'm not reaching, not with your hand on your weapon. And so even in these moments where people may be let off, that interaction right there doesn't help build trust. And there have been a number of interactions like that, even here in Reading, with indigenous people and people of color. So when I hear things like this, I actually go, oh, that's great, because there is a national conversation going on. There is a resurgence of an issue that has been around for decades, for scores. And to hear that even Reading and Shasta County want to be preventative in some of those things, I think it's awesome. I think it's necessary. I think it's a part of the conversation that we need to really, really be having.
Well, you know, we got to take a break now, but I think the idea of, you know, preventative maintenance is what we call it in the military. So we need to do preventative as opposed to reactive. It's like policing. You want to do preventative. You want to go out there and be you want to keep things from happening instead of having to react to them.
Right.
So
that's what community policing is all about.
And that's what it is. And having, you know, building trust is so important. And we haven't had this conversation that I can remember since I've lived here where people are actually talking about
it. Absolutely.
And I think that's great. Okay, we got to take a break. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Well, hey, we're talking about guns, and this is Shasta County. Northern Firearms Instruction is one of the largest privately owned firearms instruction company in California. They have classes on CCW. If you just have a pistol or a shotgun and you want to learn how to use it, they have classes for that. You don't have to, you know, get a CCW for that. They have a variety of classes in all different types of self-defense, whether it be unarmed or with a firearm. But learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. Northern Firearms Instruction. We'll be right back after these messages. 8:33 in the morning, 75 degrees, going up to 101 today.
Ready for Turtle Bay Exploration Park's exciting new event, Walk for Wildlife. Run or walk with family and friends, virtually share your experience with others, and enjoy a free breakfast, all while supporting your favorite Turtle Bay animal ambassadors. Register today at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Get ready for Turtle Bay Exploration Park's exciting new event, Walk for Wildlife. Run or walk with family and friends, virtually share your experience with others, and enjoy a free breakfast, all while supporting your favorite Turtle Bay animal ambassadors. Register today at turtlebay.org.
Had so much
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. It's 8:38 in the morning, 78 degrees out there, going up to 101 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned and operated, discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793. I'm here with Jensine. You know what? I knew I was going to do it once.
It's okay.
Jensine of Victoria and Tanasha Lorray and Reading Police Chief Bill Schuller. We're talking about building trust in our police. So we've got a couple of things we want to hit. But before we get out of here today, we want to say is what would we like to see as an end result of all of this so that it works for everybody? So, and you had you were talking about community policing, Tanasha.
Yeah. You know, I think we're in a day where we have more challenges that make this actual issue really, really difficult, more difficult than I wouldn't necessarily say fully in the past, because there was so much that was going on back then that was out of control. But because we're more of a disconnected society, you know, people find their connection on social media, and that is a false sense of connection. People don't know their neighbors anymore. You know, it's a very different world that we do live in. So there's some bridges that have to absolutely be built in order to create a more human connection between the community and between the law enforcement. And I would like to actually see those bridges made, efforts made to have something that's a little bit more ongoing, of creating transparency, of town hall meetings, updates, databases, or just something that would create clear communication. But then also, I really like this guy. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this guy named Officer Tommy Norman. He kind of became, I would say maybe about 4 or 5 years ago, he became this sort of social media celebrity guy, because he's this officer in the South. He's, I believe, in Arkansas, and he's so signed up to community policing. This is what it looks like for him. He goes into the neighborhoods, and whether he is fully clothed on duty or not, he's there to meet the people, learn the people, connect with the people, serve the people. There's so many, it almost feels like little snippets of a reality show, because he'll get on camera and he'll show like pictures of like these little kids that he's, oh, this is Day-Day. I went and saw Day-Day today. Day-Day, how you doing? And he's doing these little videos of Day-Day. Uncle Norman, I'm doing okay. You got a candy for me? And so he's like passing them treats, and it's a beautiful picture of someone that actually cares, really cares about the community, and wants to learn the community so that there can be protection and service from a place of connection. And he's decided to create that bridge. His version of community policing is actually being community, not just coming into a community, but being community to the community. And I think we all need a little bit of that today, because we do live in a more disconnected society. What would it look like if that was a pathway that would create more human interaction, where we could actually see law enforcement as human beings and not just a badge and a weapon?
Well, you know, back in the old days, and I'm talking probably, gosh, who knows how long ago, you had the officer on the beat that just, you know, he walked that area, and right. He knew everything about it, and people would talk to him about things, but things have changed a lot, Chief.
Yeah, well, I would love to have officers that could work in a certain area, a smaller geographical area, and be in that area all day long, all the time, every day, with that community policing mentality. I mean, we've had that ingrained to our staff. We just don't. We were defunded in 2008, and we've had minimum staffing ever since. Luckily, our neighborhood police unit now is doing more and more of that. But in order to do that kind of work in the communities, we need more staff to do that. When we have seven officers, and we've talked about this, yeah, you and I, many times.
Seven officers for 60 square miles.
Right. So each officer is basically has a 10 mile geographical area. It's very hard to get to know your community like that.
That's hard.
So I would love to see that if we were able to expand our staff and get more and more into community policing. I think that would make a big difference. Tanasha made a comment about transparency. Law enforcement historically, especially in California with the government code, has been very, very, everything is very confidential, especially with peace officer records and investigations into misconduct and all of that. And only last year at Senate Bill 1421 did that start to open up. But I anticipate that will open up, and maybe that will help build community trust too, because they'll be able to see that departments take misconduct very, very seriously. And we investigate complaints. Every complaint that comes in, we investigate. And right now, most of that information we can't share. Legally, we are not allowed to share that. And gotcha. I think the more and more legislation changes and allows those databases to come out and share, I think that trust will build up and see that we are actually policing our own staff.
Yeah, you know what, and I can just say this is offline that the chief and I have talked, and I never know anybody's names, but, you know, people that have been replaced on the police department and because of things.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know their names, don't want to know their names, but they have not been keeping to the standards. Now, Justine, you had some other things.
Yeah. Here. I just wanted to talk about why is trust important and why was it broken in the first place? You know, we need to talk about and address why we even need to look at the word reconciliation. And part of that includes the step of acknowledging past hurts. You know, research shows that when communities view police as authority and as legitimate, they're more likely to cooperate and obey the law. And so it's easier on the police, the law enforcement and the other agencies to enforce the law. But here's something that I've thought about is what good are equal laws if they're being enforced with racial biases? The law just becomes seen as a facade meant to promote the ideology of equality and justice. And so we need to understand that, you know, Jim Crow laws were not lifted until just recently, and the term separate but equal really took away what equality meant. We're still trying to grapple with what does equality mean in this country. And so, you know, we need to look at even in 1968, right before that, we had segregation with black officers. They could only arrest those from the black community. They weren't allowed to even police in white neighborhoods. They couldn't actually take the sergeant's exam. And there were so many privileges. They still had to use separate bathrooms and sinks while they were police officers, detectives, sergeants. That's so humiliating and actually just such a mockery. And so, you know, the Courageous 12 in August 1st, 1968, which August 1st is my birthday, that's how I memorized that, is they were able to have equal responsibility and equal authority as black police officers. And so we're still building a lot of trust and repair, not just with the black community, but with other minorities who still haven't been maybe brought to light, like the Native and indigenous populations here, the Mien, the Viet, the Hmong, the Thai community here. And we still have a Chinese population here. It's not super large, but, you know, I did want to just emphasize that part of what I would like to see is more citizen involvement, which includes maybe quarterly surveys when we talk about transparency, Chief, is being able to ask people real questions about how they perceive trust. And if they are not trusting, what can we do to repair that trust? And so part of that is actually creating a citizens committee, which we have, you know, SCCAR. We have a lot of different advisories in Reading. I was looking them up for community policing that actually include local stakeholders. And what I mean by stakeholders is medical professionals, lawyers, people who are like the mayor, people who actually just care, maybe senior citizens coalitions, people who are advocates for other minorities here, church leaders, people who are part of the Sikh Center that was actually like they're part of that, the Greek Orthodox Church. You know, we start getting people involved.
What you're looking at is a cross section of our city.
Absolutely.
And not as an oversight, but as a committee that the police can go to, the sheriff can go to, our district attorney can go to.
Yes.
And speak so that word gets out to all of the people that they represent.
Yes.
I think that that's probably a pretty good idea.
Stakeholders.
That it's, but that's, I think that's something that our city needs to lean into. I don't, you know, that it's, again, it's not an oversight committee, but it's a way of getting the word out that if, hey, this is what we're hearing. And you know what the chief would, I'm sure would welcome being able to get information coming up from the other direction.
Oh yeah. It's, we had a Zoom call last night that was put on by, Larry from United Way and Eddie McAllister, and there was about 35 of us, myself, the sheriff, district attorney, sergeant from Anderson, and a whole bunch of folks in our community. From one of our city council members was on there, our city manager was on there, and then some folks from SCAR, Native American community. There was a bunch of us, and this is the exact conversation we had. and talked about everything from how we hire officers, how we train them, to the testing they go through, all of that. And I think that two-way conversation is super important. I need to know what the needs are of the community, and they need to know what we're doing in response to that and how we hire our staff and train our staff. So I am 100% on board with that. I think that's a great idea. It's something that I was hoping to start on a more our Reading PD side of it after COVID kind of backed off. I'm not a big fan of the Zoom thing. I just feel it's very impersonal. But
We're all tired of it.
When you Zoom with me, you get a picture of my dog up there.
Larry Olmstead started it last night, and I'm glad he took that leap to kind of get us started. And I think on a more regional scale is a good idea. And maybe we can make that group a little larger, and we'll start working on that.
You know what? It's I can see it could be a win-win for our whole community.
Sure.
On something like this. Let's go to the phones. Lori.
Hey, good morning, Carl and guests. I was hoping to address what you just said here about the school system and Zoom and this hybrid model. There's many questions and concerns about the logistics of it. There's something, a term that teachers use. It's called summer backslide. That's when kids approximately lose maybe 1 month's learning or education that they just had. The problem is it gets to be 2 or 3 years behind when we look at lower income families or people of color. California has about 10 million children. One-fourth are classified as white Caucasian. 75% are indicated classified as children of color. So lots of homes are impacted if they can't afford more than one or two computers and devices. Maybe one parent or their only parent works. There's families where kids are in the lower grades, and then you've got the junior high, and then one of your kids is in high school. And then they're all toggling a half day here and being there. It's almost impossible to calculate how that's going to be a success. So I'm hoping maybe some teachers down the road could be some guests on this issue. Remote learning in the Zoom is not ideal, especially if these kids are going to be in masks. They can't do facial reading, which is a part of, you know, learning expressions of people. So I just think it's a great topic to continue. And I think the police, if we're going to start seeing lots of kids on the streets because the parents aren't home, we were called latchkey kids when our parents worked. So it's not safe anymore when we have predators and offenders and whatnot. So,
yeah. Okay, Lori.
I agree. The hybrid model has not been fully examined. And Zoom, I've heard that goes to China, and there's all kinds of issues with security and safety.
Okay, Lori. Thanks a lot.
And help clean up the people in the chat room that are being quite abusive, rude, and ugly.
I tell people to be polite here. And
they're not. So just want to put that out there.
Well, just for people in the chat room, is that my producer has the ability to delete everything in there.
Because it's not good being attacked when people are just trying to educate, share,
I understand.
Move the conversation along.
Okay. Thanks, Lori.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
I'm looking at that. There's nobody being called names in there.
I mean, it's a tense subject. And even what she brought up is she's talking about systemic issues because, goodness, I grew up in the South. I was also an educator, and I taught in inner city. And although the culture of my own household was not the culture in which I taught, as far as, like, the demographic and the lower income and things like that, it comes with a whole set of problems that then does spill over into things that of policing, into certain behaviors that seem a little bit more threatening or clothes that seem a little, they're more profiled and they don't have access to the information and they don't have access to learn at what the police force is actually doing. So she does bring up a really good point. There's multiple layers to this, and so we can't even just try to tackle it, which is why I love what Larry Olmstead is doing with United Way, with bringing multiple people groups together, multiple people that represent different sectors of society, because it has to be hit on multiple levels, on educational level, health level, with the judicial system, with the law enforcement. It's multiple tiers to it. So I think what she's bringing up is valid. With the whole Zoom thing, that's going to be an even more difficult thing because, I mean, you got to get through a pandemic.
Yeah. And I'll add that I was in the school system I taught. One thing you could do, Lori, and if you're a parent listening, is I was homeschooled for a time, and we had, like, moms rotate and do classes. And you could do that over the summer where, you know, you could maybe have like two or three children and kind of rotate and order some books to kind of refresh on maybe get the grade in advance. If they're in sixth grade, get a seventh grade math book and just go into that.
You know, today our subject has been building trust in our law enforcement, not just the police, but I think it's law enforcement across the board, and that also includes the district attorney's office and all this, and the sheriff's department. And one of the things that has come out of this that everybody seems to agree on is a committee made up of a cross-section of our town that represents the different faiths, the business community, other people of color, and again, it's not an oversight committee. It's a committee that meets on a regular basis, and they share with what's going on in their community so we can put our community together so that we can all be kind of heading in the same direction. Am I hearing that?
Yeah, and that's why we use the word stakeholders. It's because everybody has a piece of the pie in this, and making sure that people feel like their voices are heard. And though there is a system of authority, because there always has to be one in terms of city organization, there is a committee that feels like they are representing the voices of the general public well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's. I mean, have we seen that in other places, Tanasha?
I would say in the latest days, I've been hearing more and more of individuals asking that of their communities.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been a lot of language and a lot of, I would say, documents that people have been sharing with what they are asking for in their particular spheres. I have never myself seen it,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that that is one of the things that in this time of unrest, even nationally, it's a pretty popular thing being asked across the board.
I'm probably the only one hear of this group that actually went to a segregated high school.
Wow.
And I remember the black only, white only drinking fountains and bathrooms.
Wow.
When I lived in North Carolina and in Georgia, I saw that, and it made no sense to me because I had moved from the north down to from Illinois to Georgia, and I went out to visit my dad's plant, and I saw those there. And it, you know, so it was confusing, and my mom explained it to me. Then I moved from North Carolina from a segregated school system to Missouri, which is totally integrated. And then within a year, they had literally torn down the white high school, and they had gone into an integrated high school down there. Mm-hmm. But seeing that when you're growing up, it was just a way of life there. But it changed dramatically after that, within the next year after we left there. So if you haven't experienced that, and that was systemic.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the changes from then to now. Are we perfect? No. But I look at the changes that, you know, being able to people could go anywhere, but in some cases now you can't. But those are a lot rarer than it used to be. Are we finished? Have we totally busted the nut on this one? No, we haven't. But if you kind of look back into what it was, even in my lifetime, how much has changed. But I think the idea of open channels of communication on a regular basis with regular people in there, with it being totally open to everybody, I think that's a great idea. It could be your committee, but it could also be going out over the YouTube or Facebook so people can see what's being asked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're going to get there quickly. It'd be great for that same group to go through our force options training, which we put on for the community. SCAR's been through it. We've had multiple groups through it. It's a great, great training for folks to see what our officers go through in decision-making and de-escalation. So hopefully we can kind of incorporate some training, show the trainings we do and get feedback, and then have some participation. So I'm looking forward to it.
I really appreciate all three of you being here today. Tanasha Lorraine, who is a movie star too.
Oh yeah, she is. I am not a movie star. I got to brush off my IMDb.
And Jasmine, you know what? I met you last week. Really?
Yes, last week.
And you know, and what's your, you know, the impact you two have had on our community. Some people it's made them very uncomfortable. But guess what? Change is uncomfortable.
It really is. And, you know,
it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable. And, yeah. You know, even to comment on something that you said, because remembering all of the places that I went to as a child and seeing history and seeing change. I also, one of my mentors was Clara Looper in Oklahoma City. She was coined one of the mothers of the civil rights movement. She led one of the first ever sit-ins in our nation in downtown Oklahoma City that desegregated the Katz drugstore there. And the stories, the horrific stories, but also the stories of progress and great change and great victory. But I remember even sitting underneath them and realizing that you can celebrate the change, but also don't settle if everyone still has not reached a place of victory and freedom and full equality. And I think that if we take that heart posture as a community to know, like, we're going to celebrate all of this change, but we have not arrived yet. Therefore, we must keep pushing until everyone feels safe. I feel like that's fair. We must keep pushing until we get to these spaces where we can say we can define equality and we can see that picture of equality happening.
Absolutely.
We must keep pushing because it's the human strength to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. It's the human spirit to keep pushing. It's in us to keep pushing until we actually reach that, as Dr. King would say, that promised land.
Come on.
And Chief, thanks so much for being here.
Sure.
Because, I mean, you all are the focal point of our city, and of course, you know, we have, you know, the sheriff's department, and I see things that they're trying to do, but you being open is also so important.
Yeah, and I think these are good conversations to have, and we can't just sit silently and not be part of the solution or the and try and repair these relationships that have been broken throughout the country.